The opinions and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
Oh my gosh.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're in Delaware Valley. Welcome to the Christian and Andrea Show here on WWDB Talk 860.
Good morning, everybody.
We're sponsored by Weinemann Pain and Wellness. We have somebody who is... can't do remotely because she's in Italy right now.
Nah, she's just scared. She was too much of a wuss.
Oh, yeah.
Because of the Giants. She's a Giants fan.
And we're going to get into that. We got an awesome guest, Bob Zimmerman from Saltzmonger, Lucy Bendeski. How are you, Bob?
Hey, everybody. I'm glad to be here.
It's great to have you. Alexis Crandall from Weinemann Pain and Wellness is in the house. How are you, Alexis?
I'm great. How's everyone else?
We're doing great. Kristen Buttle, our host. How are you?
Hi. Happy Monday, everybody.
So... definitely a cool Monday. By the way, what is our good friend, just taking a shot at this, Andrea Sasso doing?
Right now, probably eating pasta and drinking some vino.
Is she in Italy?
She's in Italy at this moment for, this is the scouting trip where they're doing their tasting and whatnot for the wedding in May.
Wow.
So. So congrats exciting. To Andrea and Artie. Shout out to them.
And I've heard of the, you know, remote weddings down the shore and all those things.
I know.
But Italy, man.
Florence. Yeah, in a villa. It's going to be cool.
Oh, my God.
I'm jealous.
I'm excited.
It is. Certainly, wish good luck to them. She did mention, Bob, I don't know if you know this.
She was sad she was missing you.
I know. I'm sad as well, but, you know, we'll live.
Well, we're talking a little bit. We always like to talk a little sports. Yeah. And Andrea, before we got into the discussion, she mentioned, obviously, she's from New York, right? North Jersey.
Bad day for her.
What's that?
Bad day for her.
Sure is.
Well,
it's a bad day for Eugene, her dad.
Oh, yeah. Son. By the way, we had her father on one time, and I immediately introduced him as an Eagles fan because, you know, I got the mic, right? I said, Mr. Sasso, how did you become an Eagles fan? Well, all hell broke loose. The radio waves. I mean, it was nuts.
All right, so who's going tonight? Anybody?
I'm not going.
Oh, are you going?
I'm going. Yeah, I'll be there.
It's amazing. Oh, yeah.
I was offered tickets, and I was like... it's a late game. It's have a big day tomorrow. I'm like,
the late games are tough.
They are. And our schedule this year is not
a lot of them.
I know.
It is a lot.
Well, it's good to see the Phillies and the Eagles are playing at the same exact time.
I know.
I mean, 7:40 and 8:15. They were looking out for us, weren't they?
Your remote's getting an exercise tonight.
Oh, my. Exactly.
Click. You need the double screen.
It is a great time of year if you like baseball and football where, you know, it's
October.
Like.
October.
And,
coming.
Love it.
You know, Red October hopefully is here.
Yep.
Now, look, I mean, the Phillies have the best record in baseball, but not since the All-Star break, okay? And so we're, you know, hanging in there. We're going to clinch, I'm sure, if we continue the regular path fairly soon. But that is irregardless. Baseball, even at the Hall of Fame where my wife and I went last year, there's a sign up that says it's a marathon and a sprint.
Yeah.
Okay, which is the major problem, okay, that everybody has. Doesn't really matter. You know, of course, I was looking, last night I got on the computer and I said, who's got the best record in baseball since the All-Star break? And of course, the Arizona Diamondbacks.
And the Mets are up there too.
The Mets are right up there. But the Diamondbacks, they got a special, like in other words, you know, they kind of got our number. We're going to have to really, really, really be on in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
But there's nothing like Red October. But the weekend, anybody see the Phillies games over the weekend?
I was
a little bit, yeah.
I know Alexis Crandall did. So tell us what happened, Alexis. I want a verbatim layout there.
Play by play.
Yeah.
Play by play.
I didn't watch them this weekend. I usually
Security,
do.
Security, please.
Yeah, yeah.
Security.
No, I usually do. I just was hectic weekend.
Well, we had three of our kind of like minor leaguers, pull us out of the fire.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what's the kid's name? The left-handed Cal Stevenson game. So the minor
he
leaguer,
was great the other night.
He made the
he
catch of
so
the century
fun.
Over
I
the
really
ball.
Did.
Yes, I did see that.
Awesome.
I did
and
watch.
He hit the ball, down the right field line.
Amazing,
incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And then Buddy
Kennedy.
Buddy Kennedy.
Yeah.
And he did the same thing, except the left field yesterday. So it is cool. It is cool.
Fun watching them the past couple of games. They've been doing really well. Very entertaining baseball.
I might say this, that over the weekend, when you think of what happened, okay, with the Mets, the thing that may be the biggest plus is Taiwan Walker threw three shutout innings, mm-hmm. which is important because our rookies, the two guys that pitched in a row, got roped. Yeah. Okay, like we don't have a fifth starter. So
it gives the bullpen a little bit of a breather.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So we have, so obviously it's a big weekend there. Then, of course, Monday night with the Eagles tonight. Any thoughts?
Any thoughts? No. Yeah. Other than I'm going to relish in Saquon Barkley.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, I really feel bad. Did everybody see...
Hard Knocks. I saw that, yeah.
And the memes coming out now about the owner. It's so sad. Saquon Barkley and his fantastic performance.
Right. Now, look, it's a long season, man. And
The thing about
baseball, I mean, the major leagues and all the pro sports is injuries and seeing who stays healthy, right? I mean, mm-hmm. Ironically, being in here with injury attorneys but at the same time, so one step at a time, obviously yesterday, them boys took a beating. Was always, listen, the beautiful thing about, being an NFL fan and living in Philadelphia, obviously, is the Eagles.
Yeah.
Okay, two favorite teams. Any hint who my two favorite teams are?
In the NFL?
Yeah.
Who? Eagles and whoever's playing the Cowboys.
Boom! Right there! So the Eagles and who's ever's playing the Cowboys.
Yeah. And so, wait, don't be mad at me because my quarterback for my fantasy league is Dak Prescott.
What are you laughing at?
I'm winning now. I'm doing great. I have to knock on wood.
I stayed away
great.
From CeeDee Lamb. I didn't want to root for him.
Just so you understand, that was most of our team, my son's team, because last year we have a family fantasy football.
Yeah, I have them.
And a lot of our
friends. Yeah,
a lot of our and a lot of our players were from Dallas because we had late draft picks.
Yeah,
but honestly, who do we? I forget who.
It makes it fun.
It does.
Because it makes you are
rooting.
You
can get involved in the other teams.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, I don't want to root for the Cowboys, but just get a couple points.
But
yeah, exactly.
So here's an interesting point. So. Finally, this year in the Family Fantasy Football League, we finally got the second draft pick. Okay. Right? And it's a big family.
Yeah.
I think I know where you're going with this because I had the second pick too.
Uh-oh.
So everything's exciting. We can't wait. Yeah, we are last week. It's great. We are going to do incredibly well. So I finish working on the Salts Manga Lucy Bendesky show, which I'm doing next week.
Uh-oh.
Okay, Bob. Shout out to Bob Zimmerman, who does produce that show. And does make sure that
we do have a pro in the house. We do. All hail Bob.
Hold on, that guy's going to get here soon. But until then, everybody here is going to. But here's something funny. I know you know where I'm going with this. I'm so psyched. First weekend, and come upstairs. And there's Tyreek Hill on his face, my number one draft pick.
I'm with you.
Was that what you were talking about?
I took Tyreek Hill number two. I didn't want CeeDee Lamb.
Yeah.
And now he doesn't have a quarterback.
Right. Okay, right.
Which that's a whole other story. Tua.
Well, McCaffrey, too.
Oh, yeah.
I had McCafferty.
It's been a rough year to have the first or second pick.
This is insane.
We got Pacheco. He just went on the IR, our running back.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But Pacheco, he
just went down. Did you?
That's what kills.
Yeah.
It's literally, that's what, I mean, I can't speak. My girlfriends are going to kill me if they're listening because I won last year.
Did you?
Yeah. Wow.
I've never won. And I'm like,
we've won
I'm
our
not
division.
Doing well.
We lost the championship, and my wife's cousin's daughter, Julie, will never talk to her again.
It's all about luck and who's, injuries kill you.
Yeah.
You know? You could have the best strategy ever.
So let's get back to Tyreek Hill real quick. So here I am walking. My wife's got the TV on, and I'm like, isn't that Tyreek Hill? Obviously, this had to happen 10 years ago. Of course, it didn't happen today. Because If you're laying on your face, okay, they just drug you from your car, and you're out in front of Miami Dolphins, stadium, you must have committed murder because, and you're the number one player, ranked, rated player in the NFL. It wasn't obvious, and I'm looking and I'm going, because no one really knew what happened, or at least I didn't for about at least a couple of minutes, and I'm going, there's Tyreek Hill. That's my number one draft choice. And oh
no,
my God! Now he did come back, and he somehow made the game and played incredibly well, right?
Yeah, you didn't expect the pre-game arrest. No. That wasn't on the card.
That's not on the bingo card.
Well, he played incredibly well. We got to go through the motions every week now. All right, Tyreek, get out of the car. We're just going to go through the motions here.
I mean, honestly, with Tua though, that's a whole another situation. Yeah. I mean, how many concussions has he had?
Well, he's got the number one of the top. Contracts in the NFL, okay? Yeah. He just signed this incredible contract, and he's had three concussions.
That's serious stuff.
Serious. Yeah. And you see how his head whipped back and hit that ground? Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. Well, I saw his hands clenched up.
Yeah. Yeah, my brothers were actually talking about that this weekend.
I mean, as injury attorneys, okay, I'm sure that you have dealt
concussions are a huge injury in our field. Actually, I don't know why me in particular, but I tend to have a lot of clients, especially middle-aged women, females, who have concussion injuries. Really? And it just happens to be that that's just how it's been. And I've learned so much. And it actually, you know, they're probably the tougher cases to litigate, right? Because you can't see it.
Yeah, you can't see it.
And it's subjective, right? How do
you
value it?
The defense lawyers are always going to say that they're faking. Yeah. I mean, there's just a playbook on the other side.
It's tough.
You can't really see that broken arm. You can't see the surgery.
Right.
And for those people, they're dealing with this as much as, you know, someone who, you know, broke their leg or suffered a spinal cord injury. I mean, it's a real thing that they're dealing with every single day.
It is. It's tough. That's a tough injury.
You know, and we can obviously segue into that, and we will. One of the things, especially with the NFL, you can't really tell the damage until they actually pass away, right?
With CTE. CTE. Oh, my God. It's wild.
I'm wondering if... Why? Tests, like, in other words, shouldn't they be able to, or at least eventually, and you're talking the NFL, there is no limit, there's no amount of money that they don't have to be able to fund stuff, okay?
I think that's the argument, right?
The question is, why can't we test for CTE while somebody's alive?
I mean, honestly, where we are today versus 10 years ago, I think is pretty miraculous, even knowing this much about the brain. I mean, the reality is that, you know, you can't just pull up an x-ray like a broken bone with the brain. It's just a different world. And that's, I think, to Kristen's point, why those cases are so challenging to handle from a personal injury perspective. You know, you've got these defense lawyers and these insurance companies who will, you know, go to that playbook and try to say that this person is absolutely fine because they went out for dinner or they went dancing one night. And they don't know that for the next 2 days they can't really function.
Well, it's interesting. It allows me to bring up, there's a lot of, when I think about the personal injury field and we all talk about, Bob is a member of our Legends of Justice Hall of Fame committee.
Whoop, whoop.
And one of the things that we talk about in the process of making our announcements, which we will real soon. One of the things about that initiative, okay, is not when it comes to personal injury, you're not only trying to secure lost income for somebody who's been negligently injured due to somebody else's fault, but also you're trying to make sure it doesn't happen to somebody else again.
Right.
So, okay, and I've brought this up several times when I finally got the opportunity to interview Bob Mongolosi after, and I told you that the story. So we've been doing the Salt Show for a couple years now, and I said to my wife, I'll never forget this, and I don't know if I told you this story, but I said to my wife, I'm like, I'm not sure if Bob likes me. He's got this scowl on his
Mongoluzzi,
face.
Mongoluzzi, Mongoluzzi, not Zimmerman. All right? Hold on.
I was talking about
let's,
you.
Let's set the
like,
stage here.
Mongoluzzi.
Bob Zimmerman is here. Yeah. Bob Zimmerman loves Joe. All right. So let's just set the stage appropriately.
Well,
here,
this
Joe.
Is so. I've Larry Bendesky's done several shows with us. He's you know, and so I said to my wife, I'm like, I don't know if Bob Mongoluzzi really likes me because he never really has a smile on his face when I look at him, right? And
he's not a smiley guy.
He's not a smiley guy.
Well,
yeah, he's pretty intense.
So check it out. I do the show at the offices, which is where I do the show. And I have to go to the bathroom. I got to pee really, really, really bad. But I make it through the show. I'm sitting, and I say to the guests, whoever they were on that particular show, I'm like, you know, awesome show, fantastic. I'm about to take a beeline to the bathroom, and Bob Mongoluzzi comes in. Now, and he goes, hey, listen, we have to
do a show.
Do my show. Yeah. I'm like, wow. And I said, by the way, I love Bruce Springsteen. They got the big Bruce Springsteen exhibit at the firm. Well, let me tell you something. Bob immediately took me for a tour of the Springsteen exhibit.
45 minutes, right?
I was, right, 45 minutes.
That's
I was
so fun.
I was
well, yeah, oh, not, yeah. not if you have to go Hold to the bathroom.
I was squirming for an hour, and I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to pee myself right here. This is not an opportunity I'm going to get again.
Exactly.
And it was phenomenal. And then we did do, we finally, I said that my wife, you're not going to believe us. But anyway, we did a show, and it was a really remarkable show, okay? And he said something during that show, and he said it so matter-of-factly. Like, it wasn't like, you know, he said, you know, like he had a trophy, but he brought up the fact that there was a case that he did years and years ago that where a kid had a baseball hat, helmet on while he's hitting, you know, he's batting, and he got hit in the head with the ball, and it caused irreparable damage, okay?
Yeah.
And he found out that the helmet, okay, the batting helmet only could take 70 miles an hour pitch. Well, the ball was like 80 miles, and I don't have the exact details.
Yeah.
But anyway, okay, not only did they get the recovery, but made sure that the future helmets, okay, I said, you got to be kidding me. You mean you go to those games and you watch and you actually have something to do with making the safety of what's going on. And I bring that up because that's what I'm talking about here in regards to personal injury attorneys, whether, you know, you're not only sitting there fighting for somebody's, you know, situation and trying to get a recovery for them so they can live their life with dignity, but you're also trying to make sure that it doesn't happen to somebody else.
Yeah. I mean, those are the ones that really hit home. I had a client, a family who lost their daughter, Emily Fredericks. It was a really terrible case that happened in the city where Emily was riding her bike to work and around 11th and Spruce, she's going straight and a private trash truck makes a right-hand turn right into her, hits her and kills her.
Oh.
And she was survived by her parents and her two brothers. And, you know, as any of us would be, they were furious and sad and devastated. You know, but after a month or two, the parents made a conscious decision to try to make this horrific accident better for someone else. So as part of the settlement in that case, we worked with that company to initiate 26 new safety policies that they enacted. And these trash trucks, they in the area where she was hit, there is a guard that's available that can actually stop you from going under. And they built those into all of their entire fleet. So, you know, Emily's parents, and they're huge advocates in Philadelphia for, you know, bike lanes and bike laws, safe biking. You know, they were able to take the worst day of their lives, their family's lives, and try to make sure that it doesn't happen to somebody else.
It's amazing.
And it doesn't happen in every case. We can't promise every client that we're going to change safety rules or change, you know, regulations. But in some cases, when you can, I think you have a responsibility to do it.
And it feels good, right?
Yeah, I mean, that...
That's amazing.
And I've heard, you know, stories, you know, tragic stories like that where, like you just said, the family, as much as obviously there was a negligent finding and a settlement, okay, was just as, if not more passionate about the fact that they didn't want it to happen to somebody else.
And I'll tell you what, I mean, we crafted that agreement where a lot of the money went to the family in a way that they could donate it to other Safe Street organizations.
Oh, that's,
I mean, they really just took this incident and tried to figure out what can they do to try to honor their daughter. And they did it in every single way imaginable.
Fantastic.
Awesome. That's great.
Let's do this. Let's go around the horn, everybody. Introduce yourselves and your business. I'll go to our host, Kristen Buttle, if you will, about yourself and the firm.
Hello, everybody. I'm a little sleepy this morning, so I apologize for being very slow. It is work related, so I feel like that's okay, you know.
Well, that's what they all say, though. That's not what the Daily News says, though. Well, go ahead.
I wish I was in the Daily News. Yeah. I wish it was that exciting. We're over at Stampone Law. We handle the wide range of everything in terms of catastrophic injury, down to even just motor vehicle accidents, small level motor vehicle accidents where fortunately you didn't need surgery, et cetera. Slip and falls, things of that nature, up to major wrongful death suits, anything catastrophic. And I will say that our esteemed guest here today is probably the king of construction accidents, even though we do some construction. I'm going to defer to this gentleman over here, I believe, aren't you a forklift operator?
I am.
He's certified.
I love mm-hmm. Yeah, he's certified.
Well,
yeah.
But let me just say this. He got that certification, okay, because he wanted to understand more. But then now I can get him in the operator's local 592 anytime he wants, and it's a big relief.
Well, sure. Let me go back one second. Kristen is being very modest. The Stampone firm is one of the great firms in the city of Philadelphia. They handle, in terms of personal injury, they run the gamut from auto to construction, workplace product. I know almost every single lawyer over there, and they are all, you know, just top notch.
I paid him to say that. No, Bob's my buddy.
Well, yeah,
we really have, honestly, what is it? Like, I think it's
10 to 15 years.
It's been like since like, I want to say December of 2011.
Do you remember the actual day?
No, I just remember. Do you remember when? Okay, so me
is
and
safe,
Bob. This is a
safe
fun.
For,
yeah, this is a safe place. This is a safe place. Wait,
we'll be back after this.
Wait. So me and Bob have been involved since I started practicing in November 2011. We've been involved in PAJ together, the Pennsylvania Association for Justice, and this is what also part of what makes Bob so great and why we're honored to have him here today is that he's very involved in that organization and that association. We always like to plug that association and to tell people how important it is because we help with legislation in creating laws that are protecting, you know, the rights of our listeners and people out on the road, people at work, et cetera. So remember, Bob, when
PHA,
I just remember it was the winter meeting. PHA used to have, Joe, you would have liked this, okay? They used to have the future leaders, which were the youngins, right? And we were at the time.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I don't know about now.
Very true.
A little bit old
me
now.
At least.
But we used to have these parties and dinners. Do you remember the karaoke party?
I do.
At what was it? Mount Fuji,
Fuji
or
yeah.
something like
yeah,
right?
Upstairs
or,
there. Yep.
Oh my God. We used to have parties where it was like a networking, you know, we all come together, all the young future leaders that are involved in PAJ. And I think that those parties were where I made my lifelong lawyer friends. Yeah. Remember Josh Schwartz, Clancy, everybody, we were all there.
It's a great organization. I mean, between Philadelphia Trial Lawyers and the state PAJ, Pennsylvania Association for Justice, you know, like Kristen said, I mean, we're there to network and meet people, but it has a larger function and it
100%.
Is consistent with what we're talking about with Emily's case and with the helmet case. I mean, you know, we all want to be involved in an organization that can, you know, advance change.
Yep, because change happens in the courtroom.
And make sure that, you know, actual citizens of Pennsylvania have a voice.
Yep.
Because there are a lot of people, you know, from the Insurance Federation and from big business who have a lot of lobbyists in Harrisburg looking out for their interests, and we want to make sure that we have a voice for the people.
Well, that's one of the things I really love about the lawyers, because you guys are out there fighting for legislation before somebody even gets injured.
Right.
So that it's there, and we all know, and coming from labor, that's important, because that's what we do.
Yeah.
Okay, and so...
And I feel like, not to cut you off, Joe, I feel like...
You just cut me off. Did she cut me off? What kind of she cut me off? I'm just asking. Simple question.
I feel like it's very rewarding to have that conversation with people when they don't realize, you know, for example, okay, Bob, construction, right? My mentor, I always take his little quip about, do you ever hear the beep, beep, beep on a construction vehicle, on a construction site?
Those are
lawyers.
She's talking about
that did
me.
That.
Exactly.
I'm talking about you.
That's right.
You cheated death a few times an iron worker.
Oh, do you want to go in that direction? Well, it's funny. That truck is a great example.
Right.
That beep, my next door neighbor, Ken Sewistral, okay, his truck goes beep, 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 not only wakes me up in the morning, but let me tell you something, it reminds me that something bad happened to somebody, and an attorney and a firm went the distance, didn't charge any out-of-pocket costs, and fought not only for that victim, but whoever, and I would love to get that case. I would like to find out what case that is, and also
honestly,
to make sure.
They're still happening.
Yeah.
I mean, they started with trucks. I just had a case that resolved about a month ago involving a piece of construction equipment. And you've seen kind of this progression. You know, the construction items, 2007, 2008, 2009, they were optional, the backup alarms.
Yeah.
And then at some point, 2010, 11, 12, they were standard.
Right.
And, you know, it's a progression, and, you know, it is really interesting to see. And those cases are still happening to this day.
Look, listen, I'll get into, you know, from the other side of the coin, some of that mentality in a sec, but I want to bring in Alexis Crandall from our sponsor, Weinemann Pain and Wellness, if you will. Alexis, tell our listeners a little bit, obviously, about what you do and what Weinemann does.
Yeah, so my name's Alexis Crandall. I'm the director of marketing for the practice. We handle cases represented by lawyers, so we do personal injury. We also do workers' comp cases. Dr. Weinemann's been in practice for over 40 years.
Great guy.
Yeah, great guy. He is what you get, I always say.
Yeah.
And we do pain management, chiro, and physical therapy as well. And we're in the works of bringing some, we're trying to bring on an ortho and a psych as well.
So having said that, so the doc spends about an hour and a half, okay?
Yeah.
Because Weinemann has sponsored several of our shows. I've been there when a new client goes in and the whole staff's going, you know, he's been in there an hour now. In other words, this is not an assembly line situation.
No, I know. I've been a patient there myself.
Yeah.
Dr. Weinemann, yeah, it was great.
After one of those PBJ or whatever, you know, meetings.
No, motor vehicle accident. I was hit head on.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah. I want to make sure, because we're getting deep into this conversation, but Weinemann, talk about transportation.
Yeah, so we offer transportation for all clients for physical therapy, chiro, anything that they get done in our office. But we also offer transportation for their specialty referrals too. Mm. So if they were referred out to, let's say, a neurosurgeon or anything that they needed, we offer the transportation as well.
And working with the attorneys, and we have attorneys here, talk about the communication, the access, the convenience, to make sure that the attorneys when it is a personal or workers' compensation, that they have the information they need and are updated when it comes to the clients.
Yeah, so that's my job and my role at the practice. I am the main contact for the attorneys. They all have my personal cell phone. I give my personal cell phone out. Anything you guys ever need, I handle all new client referrals, medical records, billing issues, compromising, all of that stuff I handle. And I try and get it to you guys like as fast as possible. 24 hours is kind of my record right now that I'm working on.
It's an amazing resource to have.
Well,
yeah,
so many levels.
Well, it's also compliance. And I remember I talked to Andrea Sasso about this, but there are sometimes clients, especially those that are injured badly, you know, as an attorney, and I'll ask both you, Kristen, and Bob, you sometimes must feel like a counselor as well as a legal counselor, okay? And you have individuals that sometimes they just can't get themselves out of bed. And they could be as injured as you get. You've been in long term, okay? But And you're dealing with catastrophic injuries, so it can be difficult. Talk about that role in as well. I mean, as well as dealing with family members, but also dealing with individuals who've been injured and, in a sense, holding their hand during some of them times where they just can't get out of bed to do anything, including going to therapy and you know, throwing that towel in is not an option, you know, in their life and right. for their legal needs. Talk about that, you know, situation.
I mean, I can say I am very, my clients are like family to me. They all have my cell phone. I was on the phone with a client at, you know, 7:50 this morning. And I think that that's a huge part of my role, at least the way I practice, because it helps me. First of all, you have to build a trust from the beginning, right? And you want your clients to trust you. You want your clients to be comfortable with you because, first of all, you need to know, I just think when you're, you know, we're trial attorneys, right? So when we get to trial, God forbid it goes that far and we have to get in the courtroom, you know, we're cultivating a case throughout the entire process. We are showing years. The defense years. Yeah. The defense or just the insurance company, maybe, you know, pre-suit, who you are as a person. You know, you're not just a number. You're not just a claim number. You're a person. This is your story. This is your family. This, you know, in order for me to effectively communicate how this injury has affected you, I feel I need to get to know you on a personal level as well.
So, and that kind of goes right into why I said compliance. Talk about, if you would, Alexis, about the importance of you know, being communicative when it comes to, you know, an injury victim or workers, or injured workers, treatment, because people can go through some. I've heard of attorneys say they've dealt with individuals who have been really badly injured, but have gone through emotional breakdowns and didn't realize and didn't get a call from the medical provider that this person had, in a sense, emotionally checked out and stopped going to their treatment, and they're still badly injured. Alexis, talk about the importance of compliance, if you would.
I think it's super important to know that the patients are all human too. And, you know, if I were personally injured in something like that, there would be days that I wouldn't want to get out of bed. But also being proactive and letting the lawyers know that, hey, they haven't been here in a week, because it's better to catch it a week than a month and a half in. Because if you can catch it in a week and they can tell you, hey, I had a bad week, okay, that's fine. Can we get you on the schedule maybe once next week, just to show that, you know, you are treating and you're feeling, you know, you're trying to get yourself back to where you are.
And I say that because, you know, through a long-term situation, unfortunately, that sentiment that you're talking about there, Alexis, the insurance companies aren't real sensitive. Dude. So if they see a lapse in treatment for any reason, okay, that I'll ask Bob, are they likely to hold it against the client? Yes.
A really tough question. I don't know. What do you think?
No, this is, I get it. Here, let me school you guys. Yeah. Yes, they're not real sensitive about somebody's, you know, and maybe they've, you know, lost a limb. And by the way, that's not out of the question. And we're going to get into that. But that, you know, they'll hold that against somebody.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're going to take a quick break. Okay, and we're going to have more from the Kristen and Andrea Show and our guest Bob Zimmerman and Alexis Crandall in just a moment.
Corey and Zach lingered in foster care for years, longing for a permanent place to call home. They lost hope.
I felt alone in the world. I didn't feel loved. Every day felt like a lost cause. I thought, who would want to adopt an older child?
I thought, I'm going to end up on the streets. That's just how it's going to be.
Thankfully, Corey and Zach's journey changed when they were adopted with help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption.
It's really difficult to wonder how you're going to make it. I'm not going to have that problem now. I just won't, because I have a family.
Today, Corey and Zach have bright futures. But every year, thousands of youth age out of foster care with no permanent family and no safety net. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
We on WWDB, the talk station.
Joe Buck and John Smoltz welcoming you back to the City Center Convenience Mart. Well, John, the stage is set for the final transaction.
That's right, Joe. Heather's moment has arrived, and you just hope all that training pays off.
Heather lays down her purchase, but Randy rings it up as slowly as he can.
He is a wily veteran.
It gives Heather's eyes the chance to wander.
Uh-oh.
Yep, she's looking at the cigarettes.
There's nothing good back there. Quit now, and in 5 years, your odds of getting certain cancers drop 50%.
Meanwhile, Randy's stone-faced. He's giving nothing away. He just stands there, wetting his cashier's finger on that sponge.
Heather toes the rubber.
Here we go. Heather's arm is in motion. But instead of pointing at the back wall, she just grabs the gum off the counter.
That's a slick move.
Heather, back, back, back. She is out of there. Even Randy tips his cap to Heather. Stand Up to Cancer and Rally wants you to reduce your risk for cancer.
Go to takeahealthystand.org.
This is McGruff the Crime Dog, and I need you to help me take a bite out of crime. Counterfeit products are popping up everywhere. Fake sneakers, fake cosmetics, and even fake pills. Crooks are selling counterfeit versions of just about everything. Last year, billions of dollars worth of counterfeit products were sold in the U.S. Sure, it may seem like saving a few bucks on the things you want isn't a big deal, but counterfeits are usually made in unsafe conditions, potentially using hazardous and even lethal ingredients that could harm you and others. And the money you've paid, it goes right into the hands of criminals and may support child labor, drugs, and even gangs. Smells like big crime to me. So if you still think buying fake products is harmless, think again. And remember, if you don't know where the products came from, how could you know where the money goes? You're smart. Buy smart. Go for real. Learn more at McGruffPSA.org. This message is brought to you by the United States Patent and Trademark Office and the National Crime Prevention Council.
Right now, someone in the world is trying to figure out what their significant other wants for dinner.
What do you want?
It's not that simple.
What do you want?
It's a devastating process that can make you feel anxious, confused, even angry.
What do you want?
There are millions of people feeling the same dread at dinner time every day. You are not alone, and thankfully, there is support. The National Association for Unimportant Relationship Decisions has free virtual meetings, online support sessions, and a restaurant randomizer, all on an easy-to-use app. You can also access online forums to receive assistance from other people struggling just like you. The NAURD app was developed in partnership with world-renowned psychologists, marriage therapists, and restaurant owners, all of which have provided a wealth of information for your access. Download the free app today for Apple or Android, or visit NAURD.org for more information. Don't choose dinner on your own. The NAURD is there for you.
Thanks to the NAURD, now she knows what she wants.
The NAURD is not a real organization, and none of the proceeding is true.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Kristen and Andrew Show here on WWDB Talk 860. Shout out to Matt Menarik, our producer, who, by the way, tonight will be reading a book about 9:30, just about, I think it's Huckleberry Finn,
He's already geared up.
Huckleberry, yeah. You got it.
Yeah.
You got it, yeah.
There's nothing else going on. Exactly. He's going to be sitting there. I'll call him and he'll be like, "Don't bother me right now." It'll be like a crucial point during the game. I'm on the 17th chapter. Matt, any predictions for tonight?
I think they're going to smoke him.
Smoke him?
Yeah. I know yesterday kind of made me nervous because teams that you thought were good aren't, and teams you thought sucked. It's a weird season so far.
A lot of close games yesterday, man. I turned that on, my God.
A lot of 0-2 teams.
49ers lost, Lions lost.
Yeah. I mean, it's certainly.
And the Cowboys got smoked.
Cowboys.
Them boys, baby, them boys.
We got the Saints next week, so we better watch it.
Yeah.
Well, I know, but, here's the deal. And I'm being sarcastic, but still, like I just said to Bob Zimmerman, and I asked him, I said, "Bob, okay, who are my favorite teams?" Okay, because Bob... he knew immediately who they were, even though we've never talked about it, because the same two favorite teams as him and the ladies, except for Andrea Sasso, who right now, shout out, is in Italy right now.
Yeah, she's checking it out.
She couldn't face us. She could not face us.
Tough day.
The big Giants here. But we've already half won this weekend, okay, because it's the Eagles. And who else there, Matt? Who are...
whoever's playing the Cowboys.
That's right. It's universal. We did not talk about this. So right now, okay, don't get me wrong. We've already had a decent weekend.
And the Phillies won the series against the Mets.
Oh, my God.
Big weekend.
And who was it? The Cal Stevenson game? Oh, man, that's going to go down. What game do you know that Harper can hit two home runs and it's the Cal Stevenson game? That's because Harper's, a routine hero.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Cal Stevenson,
hero.
Yeah. You know what I love about it, Cal Stevenson? That bunt from 2 weeks ago.
Oh, my God. It was so good.
It was.
I was like, God.
It was. Oh,
I scared my dog.
Unbelievable. Okay. So we were, we're talking. I had this great question, but it's out the window right now. I don't know where we're at. We're talking Eagles and down.
You two, never.
I know. I just lost it, but
I'm pretty sure that none of us here have a problem with bringing up points to talk about.
No, I know. I've one of the things as we've talked about these catastrophic injuries in individuals are the fact that they're very emotional. You talk about these lives that you're dealing with on a daily basis. And I want to say something, Kristen, because, you were mentioning, obviously, Stampone, and Joe Stampone does a phenomenal job, and the firm is fantastic, and he's a legend up there, big time in the Northeast. Let me just say this. Dealing with individuals who are coming in whose lives have been destroyed, and I mean it's not something that is to be taken for granted, okay? Mm-hmm. And when somebody comes in, you talked about a small car accident. My wife, we got in a car accident. I talked about me when we were 19 years old, and you met her right now. She's got a scar across her neck. Mm-hmm. It was such a,
people die from slipping and falling on ice.
Well, this guy hit us at a light.
Die.
He hit us at a light. I didn't get it. It was hardly anything. He did it from 5 years. He took off when he oncoming track at Frankfurt and Princeton. Okay. I was waiting for the light to turn left, the left arrow there. And he just went, not a bad accident. Probably, you would consider it not a catastrophic injury. My wife has had massive surgery a year and a half later because even though she wasn't hurt at the it was a seemingly non-catastrophic injury, and it seemed like no big deal. That disc exploded eventually, and she was having pinched nerves. So, you really never know what something's going to happen, and she's a perfect example of that. But let's talk about dealing with individuals when they walk in that door. Okay, Bob, talk about when you know, okay, because we've talked about many of these. Salsa Mongoluzzi handled the Mike Whitlin case. Okay, Mike Whitlin was my boss on the Frankfurt L, and he was involved in the Tropicana.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And it was ironic because Duffy and Bob talked about it when we did a show over at Pond, and I was, that was their first massive case. Yeah. Okay, 25 years ago. Okay, and Mike, talk about a great guy. Well, that was the Tropicana tower collapse, and my father, he's always been a big proponent because we don't have non-catastrophic injuries So having said that, but when that family's coming in and Kristen, you as well, when you know you got that day coming.
Well, let me fast forward a little bit.
Yeah.
Think about being in a conference room with a lawyer and the lawyer is telling you today's a mediation. All right. And today is an opportunity to see if the other side's going to offer an amount of money to make you stop suing them. All right. So your choices are accept the amount of money or go try your case. Okay. Those are the only two options you have. You can't be a good advocate if you don't know the person that you're sitting across the table from. If the first time I meet the client or the first time I establish a real connection with the client is the day of mediation, who am I? And why do my opinions or thoughts matter? I mean, they're the ones that are dealing with this injury every single day of every single month of the last two and a half years in some cases. So, as Kristen said, I mean, when you meet the client at a new client interview, a new client meeting, and you want to make sure that you're the right fit for them and they are the right fit for your firm, if it's a good fit and you retain you are retained by that client, you want to make sure that they know you, that they trust you, that they know that you know what they're going through, because you can't make that up, you know, at trial or at mediation. You know, you have to establish a relationship with the client.
Yeah.
You know, and people do it in their own ways. Like Kristen, I give my cell phone out to my clients. You know, we have great paralegals and support staff who, you know, make real relationships with these clients. You know, and we need to know, you know, when their good days are and when their bad days are, as Alexis said. I mean, you have to be able to understand that so you can tell that story at mediation through your mediation memo, when you're telling the insurance company, this is what this case is about, or if you're going to trial and saying, you know what, you know, it's not like I just met this person. You know, you've been going through that journey with them for a couple of years. You know they've had some good times, but they've had a lot of bad times as well. And you have to be able to know that to be able to fully represent your client.
And I think that either Bob's using a great example. When you're at mediation, a lot of times it's not just the defense attorney. They'll bring the adjuster, you know, maybe the claims supervisor, et cetera. Maybe the excess carrier in larger cases. I think those individuals see that connection that you have with your client, and they know it's always great because then they know that you're going to go back to bat for your client, but they also know
you're willing to go to trial.
That when you go to trial, the jury is going to see that too. You know, we had that case we had in Essex County. Yeah. It was a horrific accident where this young woman, her legs were amputated as a result of a trucking accident. Horrible. And Emeka Igwe.
Yeah.
And this client, we worked with Emeka on this case, and him and this client were together for years, you know, and it was his direct examination of that client. I mean, the jury was locked in because it was a personal connection. He was having a personal, you know, conversation with the client. And I use that example because it was such a serious case and it was such a big result and a fantastic result for this poor woman who was 23 years old at the time, you know. And I think that that had everything to do with it.
Yeah.
100%, you know.
Kristen, a lot of times, you know, firms like Stampone, firms like Saltz, Mongoluzzi, Mendesky, we'll get cases later on,
yeah,
right? We'll get cases that are in suit or cases that are coming up for trial. So you kind of have to, you know, short circuit it, and mm-hmm. you have to meet the client. I mean, Kristen, you know, they did a phenomenal job for that client. And they were also lucky to have the lawyer who referred the case, you know, stay involved and be involved.
But, Emeka Igwe, right?
Yes, yeah. Yes.
In other cases, you know, you might not have that. You might just get the case cold and you have to really, you know, in short order, make that relationship with the client.
And establish it, yeah.
And we've talked about this many times, but as somebody who may be in a very difficult situation, first of all, not long ago, I saw somebody came in here, sat in that, it was an attorney, got a client that morning, and this related to, and I don't know if you were in the room at the time, but the client said to the woman, to the attorney, am I going to have to pay for the expert for this one too? Right? Okay.
Favorite topic.
Right. I know it is. I mean, and my point is, a client's got to know that the firms that they're dealing with, and obviously Saltz and Stampone, have the ton of resources to be able to fight these cases. How important is that?
It makes or breaks the case. I mean, you know, we're dealing with a case where we are getting like a third level of expert for a rebuttal to a rebuttal to a rebuttal, you know, and there are some law firms that they'll get their one report and whatever the defense says after that, they just say, okay, and they go to trial and maybe the expert doesn't even know what the other side said. You know, for firms like ours and firms like Kristen's, you know, when we get, how it works is you have to submit on the plaintiff's side your expert reports. You say, these are our experts. These are what they're going to say. The defense then will be able to read them, and then they get to basically pick their experts and criticize anything your expert says. Then what happens? Okay, some lawyers will just say, okay, we'll go to trial, and our experts will say one thing, and theirs will say another. Or like Kristen's firm and my firm, you know, we will send those defense experts' reports to our experts, make sure that our experts comment on their reports, on their opinions, or go out and get rebuttal
And you have to be able to afford to do that, right?
It's a lot of time. It's a lot of money. But at the end of the day, if you know, if you're not doing that, the client isn't getting, I think, full representation. You know, I mean, there are cases that need that. There are some that don't, but there are cases that need
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely, especially the complex cases. You know, there are also, I think, it's beneficial when you're working with these experts all the time. They establish a relationship with you as well. And when you can establish a relationship with these experts, they want to go to bat for your clients, you know, because they want to advocate for your clients just as much as you do. You know?
Well, I imagine the credibility of the expert has to be impacting to the defense side when they see that person.
Yeah, and you have to figure out what expert is right for the case. You may want an expert who does mostly defense work for your case. You may think, I've got an absolute slam dunk liability case, and I want to show the other side that I'm going to go out and get an expert who mainly takes defense cases. Because if that expert believes in my case, that shows that carrier even more. You know, I mean, Kristen said, I mean, there are some experts who do 90, 100% plaintiff work.
Some do
experts
like half and
who
half.
Do 90%, 100% defense, and then some that do half and half.
Yeah.
And you have to figure out in what, you know, in the right case, mostly on liability issues, but for damages as well. You know, I mean, I'm sure you all, you know, we'll work with, you know, whether it's plaintiff or defense, whoever comes in, you're going to try to do the best you can, you know, for that client.
Exactly.
Well, and how, what are the out-of-pocket costs that a client has to? This is
does he do this on your show too? Is this his favorite topic?
I think that is a question. Yeah, exactly.
I was waiting for it. I'm like, when is it coming?
Well, somebody's listening that thinks it's going to cost them arm and a leg.
It's true. It's true. And you always remember that. And I love it.
Well, that's the other thing.
Everyone who's listening, it doesn't cost you a dime to call, for example, one of the greatest attorneys in the city that's sitting right next to me, Bob Zimmerman. Doesn't cost you a dime to call him.
Not only call him, but retain him.
And retain him.
And you talk about, and that goes the same for yourself, Kristen, and everybody at Stampone and everybody at Saltz Mongoluzzi. But I say that because you mentioned that these experts cost a ton of money, okay? Yep. And there's no way a regular, you know, Tom, Dick, or Harry can afford that, okay? How's that work?
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, you look at the case and you figure out what resources do you need for that particular case. Now, if it's a $100,000 auto accident case, the worst thing you could do is spend $50,000 or $75,000 in costs.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, at the end of the day, the client says, okay, well, I didn't have to pay that out front, but it's coming out of my settlement, right? So you have to be able to compare what type of case it is and what type of resources are necessary. And, you know, we had a case that settled a couple years ago where we spent $750,000 on one case, you know, and that client didn't, you know, take a dollar out of his pocket. Those were resources that the firm put into the case, you know, and you're right. I mean, the other side, they'll hire defense lawyers and they'll hire experts and they'll pay them throughout the case, hours and hours and hours of work. You know, our clients can't afford that. And, you know, the, you know, contingent fee system allows us to take on that risk, that burden from the client. So that if we handle your case and for whatever reason there isn't a good result, and you know, in firms like Kristen's and ours,
that's,
you know,
rare.
We pride ourselves that, you know, we do get fabulous results. But if something happens, you're not going to be responsible for that out of pocket.
Right.
Now, you mentioned contingent fee. What the hell is that, Kristen? Why did you ever tell me this? No, but that's one of my favorite topics because that's what it's all about. So people have to understand that it's not going to cost a dime to have the best attorneys in the country. I'll say that. Let me ask Alexis. Out of pocket costs also because it can get pretty extensive, you know, medical. Listen, go to an emergency room, man. Okay.
Yeah.
Go to an emergency room and you got to go twice that week as a regular person who trips in their house or whatever. And it costs a lot of money. Any out of pocket costs when it comes to Weinerman and dealing with that situation?
No, nothing. Same exact thing as you guys. And also I think it's really important. A lot of the clients, when they do call to schedule their appointments, they ask that. That's the first question they ask.
Yeah, how
what's
much
it going to
cost
me? Does my and nothing? Just come in, get the help you need, and
that's for a obviously a work injury or personal injury.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. That, no cost.
So you know, it's just such an important thing. Let's do this. We got 1 minute left. Bob Zimmerman, contact information if somebody at the firm is looking.
Bob Zimmerman, Saltz Mongoluzzi Bendesky. You know, I want to thank Kristen and Alexis and you, Joe, for having me on.
It was an honor.
You can just Google our firm's name and find us, but you know, we're really happy that you know, we could work with you for these years.
Oh, fantastic. And we're excited also. Kristen Buttle, if you will.
Thank you, Bob. You were fabulous. You were a pro in our midst. Thank you for listening, everybody. Go to stamponelaw.com and check us out. KButtle at stamponelaw.com.
Fantastic. Alexis Crandall, Weinerman Pain and Wellness.
Yeah, you can contact me by email, acrandall@weinermanpainandwellness.com, or you can check us out on our website, weinermanpainandwellness.com.
All right, I want to thank everybody for tuning in. Shout out to Andrea Sasso. Good luck in Italy.
Good luck in Italy, but not good luck to your
not
team.
Not good luck tonight.
And certainly, obviously, want to thank Bob Zimmerman for being on the show. We want to thank Weinerman Pain and Wellness and Alexis Crandall. Shout out to Mitch, Matt Menark, Huckleberry Finn tonight, brother. On behalf of everybody on the panel, I'm Joe Dougherty. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, guys.